I'm John Travis, and I'm with Nick Ramirez, who is on the Millwork side, our plant manager in San Antonio. We've had an opportunity to work together for many years, and looking forward at this time to have a chance to talk to him about what it was like growing up and how he got into woodwork and how we met and all the fun, crazy stuff we've had an opportunity to do together. So I guess I'd start by, Nick, where are you from?
Okay. So I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas. Been born and raised here, originally in the west side. Then we just moved around a lot through the inner city and pretty much spent all my life here. Went to maybe about 7 different elementary schools and 3 different junior highs and 3 high schools. That's pretty much the gist.
How'd you get into construction and millwork as a kid? Actually, is that what you were doing during the summers, or what'd you end up doing?
No, actually, I wanted to be a lawyer. I don't know why I didn't persist with that. But what happened is I actually was going to school at Sam Houston. They had a vocational class where, well, basically I was just trying to skip out of school. So what I would do is go to school for half a day, and then I would go to a shop and work for about 2 hours. And I was basically a sander. I started at a place called Ankin and Sons. So it was a vocational, so I would go to school half a day and then go to work half a day. I think my checks were like $60 or
something
like
that. Was that like a junior or a senior at college?
It was a junior. It was a junior. And then when I started there, and then I started sanding, and then I just went with it, started assembling, stayed with it. Then went to finish carpentry and worked at a funny hotel called La Mansion, doing finished carpentry, which is now Estancia. Yeah, it goes back around.
The one we did a couple years ago?
Yes, sir. And then so that's basically how I took off, and I ended up just staying with it. I had a brother, 2 brothers that were in that same shop with me, and then one went to installation and one went to millwork. That's pretty much about it right there as far as how I got into the business, how I stayed in the business.
So Ankin was residential. So
yes.
Face frame cabinets.
Face frame cabinets.
So traditional style.
Traditional. It used to be white oak and ash.
And you were in the sanding station?
That's all I did was sand all
day. All
day? All day. I would leave in a day. I'd come back and they'd have about 30 or 40 cabinets piled up, and I'd sand them at the end of the day and go home at 3:30. And leave nothing, and then I'd come back in the same big old pile of cabinets.
Like it never happened.
And it just kept reloading.
Yeah,
and then
just
so
repeat.
I did that for a while. Then I started building on a full-time basis there.
So in a similar position?
A similar position. I started building residential cabinets, and that's where I started. My brother was a cutter, and my other brother was in the millwork. And that's where I started. Then I just started jumping from shop to shop and basically like freelancing and picking up a lot of different methods and
when did you get into the commercial side?
Right after I left there.
So you went from there to
that was
commercial
residential
shop?
And then from there I just started doing work for the hotels, or I would jump to, oh man, I could name a million cabinet companies. I worked for Michael's, Signature, Classic, Caseworks, Customs, all kinds of places.
So I'm, you know, how come you didn't stay at any of those?
Because I was just learning, sir. So what it was is I just picked up and absorbed everything from every one of these shops. Different ways how to make things. So
when did you get into the custom side? So you're building boxes, and then you get into die walls and...
Funny, that's a funny one.
Furniture,
actually,
kiosks,
it was at
tables.
Classic Caseworks and Countertops. I met a gentleman named John Hudson. And he's like, hey, you know what? You're going to do some specials. He just threw me a plan, and he just let me go. And he would walk by every day. He'd
check
walk
on
by,
you.
Check on me, look at me. And then I'd be trying to figure it out. Then I'd ask questions. Then he finally come and say, well, you know, you're doing that wrong here. Try this, try that. And then that's where I picked it up. I started building cabinets for, like, the airport and then just all kinds of stuff. That's where I started.
He did kiosks, a lot of kiosks and retail stations, right?
Mainly a lot of specialties. What we consider specialties are the hard, difficult stuff. You know,
something wood. Off a plan. It's not going to be on a line.
Right. And a lot of it is just different things, like kiosks. We did glass cases for the airport back then, which is gone now. And then just ovals, radiuses, angles, and all kinds of different stuff. Walls, basically reception walls.
When I met you, I think you were at Cardell.
Correct.
How'd you end up over there?
Pay. You want to be serious? Well, my brother Edward, which worked with me at Onkins too, was a supervisor or manager at Cardell, and he ran what you call the millwork division. And
he was making face frame material.
Yeah, he was just making face frame material.
Edging.
About 100, 175 people, day and night shift. So he's like, hey, these guys are paying, and they're looking for a supervisor, so that's where I went. Actually, I thought I'd put my skills to work, but the skills I learned from them were different. It's pretty much just running people. Making sure things are deadlines are met. And, you know, I go around and hurry people up and make sure they did their job. That was it.
What was your department there? Assembly, wasn't it?
No. It was actually there. My job was the parts division. So in the parts division, all we actually did was cut everything for all the other builders and all the other buildings.
So you're supplying.
So we supplied. We cut shelves. We taped them. We cut drawer sides. We ran them and sent them to another department. We cut the end panels, the uppers, the bottoms. We did special cabinets, you know, your wicks, your wax, your angle cabinet stuff. So it had like 10 different departments. And under me was 10 different, like, leads. And what they would do is everybody would get their stuff, palletize it, set it to the front. They strap it, throw it in an 18-wheeler, and deliver it to another part where they would actually put all the components together. And that's what I did there for about 7 years.
Were they helpful in teaching you how to work with people,
how to work people? It helped. It really did help. They did a little bit of a training, you know, that you would have different trainings, you know, how to diffuse emotionally charged situations, you know, how to adjust to change. And those are good things because you have to have those in the workforce these days, you know. You see two big guys ready to go at it, you know, you need to be able to go in there and try to
calm everybody
diffuse
down.
It, yeah, and separate it and calm them down. And then, you know, learning how to teach people how to change. Because, you know, with change, you have to change inevitably. You know, change is inevitable. You have to change if you want to keep up with the pace of the industry. And that's where I learned. I learned a lot of managing skills and supervising skills for them.
So then how'd you meet me?
How did I meet you, John?
I think it was an ad in the paper. And then I think your spouse at the time actually...
Correct.
Called and interviewed me.
Right. They interviewed you, right?
Yeah. She interviewed me, and as I recall, twice. And then after that, then you called me.
Right.
And then I don't know where we met.
That was weird. Well, actually, the guy's name was Big Bird. His name was Mark, or what was it?
I don't remember the guy's name.
You don't remember his name?
It was not working out.
Yeah, your right hand at the time. We called him Big Bird. Sorry. Yeah. Apologies, guy. But... No, we went to Longhorn.
Nice man, but it wasn't working out. Maybe we did. It was Longhorn?
It was cattle.
Texas Land and Cattle.
Texas Land and Cattle. We went there and ate.
And then you agreed, and then we started, and then I think you got sick, so you missed.
Actually, the day I started.
That's what it was.
So we agreed. I says, yeah, let's do this. And, you know, you wanted me to come in and revamp your shop and pick up the pace and run the people. And the very first day I started, because I had been having episodes with kidney stones
for two years,
yeah. It was funny. And I'm like, man, I think this guy thinks I'm quitting on him.
That's totally what I thought. I'm like, he didn't even make the day.
Yeah, so that one weekend, I was weed eating my yard, and I had a real bad episode with my kidney stones. And I don't know if you've had them, but those things are painful. So it would double me over, and then, you know, I would end up taking painkillers, and they'd knock you out for, like, the whole week. You know, so I'd take a painkiller, I barf it out, then I'd take another one. And so, like, the whole weekend I slept, but I never felt right. So when I came to work, I'm like, man, I'm weak, I'm dizzy, I'm cold, I'm clammy. I just feel like poo, right? And I finally said, man, I got to go home. I'm sick. So I thought I said, man, I bet you this guy thinks I'm going to quit on him already. Haven't even been here 4 hours and I'm out of here.
So I think that's like, what, 15 years ago? 14 years
ago?
Yeah,
about 15 years ago.
Something like that?
So the first thing I did at that time is I went to the med clinic, right?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, man, you're lucky you came in here. You know what you need to do? You need to go to the emergency room. I said, what? I said, man, it's just a kidney stone. I said, no, but, you know. You got to go, something about your blood pressure and this and that. So it was a big fiasco. That's my experience starting at Travis.
That's starting with kidney stones.
Yeah.
That was the day.
And I was out for a whole week. Actually,
I think you were. It was like a whole week.
So I went, and the next thing is they threw me in there and did all kinds of stuff. Took me to Stone Oak and drilled a hole in my back to let the urine out because it was contaminating my blood or something. So I was out a whole week. I said, man, I don't know if this guy's going to hire me when I go back. So that's what happened.
You made it through that. After 15 years starting there, we were in a different facility. How has it changed? What's it been like?
We've grown. We've grown in a lot of ways. I think the biggest thing is in size, in people, and in processes. You know, our process, we still keep refining them as we go. We went from, I think it was like 9 people, 3 people in the mill, some painters, to what we are now. I think there's like 27, and then we have different shops. And
that's here. We have different 17 areas over there. And
yeah, so now we have divisions. We have like
16 in the field.
Yep, 16 in the field. I think the paint's kind of always been up and down, up and down.
Sure.
But as far as the mill work, it's like it's grown. I think before we used to contract our installers to come in.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you're doing this job for like X amount of bucks, $500-$600, and they go mess it up.
Now
and
we have our own.
Now you have your own.
Quite a few.
Crews. Now we have the metal. We have the stone.
So capabilities have grown.
Capabilities have grown. I think originally we were just doing self-edge tops, right?
Yeah, we were doing self-edge tops.
Yeah. And we were buying our stuff from Guido or somebody like that.
So you've helped expand many of the capabilities.
Right.
So on
correct.
Tops, you're right. At the beginning, it's just a laminate. Now anything you want from granite, stone to steel,
solid surface,
plastic,
everything.
Acrylic, post form, you name it.
So I think we have become a one-stop shop, I think, in essence. You know, you come in, you can get your windows, your doors, you know, we don't want to do flooring, but we can, you know, try to stay out of that.
Incorporate your steel,
yes,
incorporate steel. Glass and other
so
things.
So we've done a lot of neat and unique things, I think, with the steel, with the wood, and with the stone. So now you're kind of putting three entities together, and it comes out really sharp, really sharp.
What's one of your favorite jobs that you've seen come through here? You don't always get to get out and see them in the end.
No, I don't. I don't.
But what are some of
the
fun ones that have passed through here, you think?
The fun one, there's so many. I mean, you know, we did Valero. The Valero desk was huge. It was awesome. It was a steel casing or steel frame incorporated with the electrical and then that
had the pop-up.
Awesome veneer, but you had to put it together. What is it, like 20-something feet long? And
everything matched, inlaid.
Wide. Yes, it was pretty sharp.
And then we had to be able to take it apart and put it in an elevator.
Yes, that was sharp. I think the original, I'm kind of always like the fact that when we did, I can't even, Stowe. It was
the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning was a huge job with.
For us, that was a big leap, and now
it was
like
a big leap, but it was, that's like, how do you say potatoes now?
Potatoes now.
Yeah,
in time as a four-story building.
It was a four-story building. The amount of reception or nurses stations.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Like 21 nurses stations, all different colors. 26 different
they
colors
were angled
of laminate.
With the inlay. Yeah, like different colors.
Yeah, everything was different.
All the acrylic.
It was the biggest headache I ever had, but it was sharp. It came out good, you know. In the end, it was all those stations with the waves and the radiuses, and that was neat. I don't know. There's so many. I like Westlakes, which I didn't really do any work on. I just kind of led it.
Right.
But, you know, when we do Westlakes with the metal and the staining and, you know, there's a lot of Austin jobs, a lot of jobs here. There's so many.
The dental clinics that particular client does, each one is unique.
Yes.
Each one is art.
Yes.
You know, which is what they do on people.
They are pretty. They are pretty sharp.
But everyone is a different story, and they are a lot of fun, although they're very difficult.
One of my favorites was that door we did out in Pearsall or whatever, that hunting lodge.
Oh, yeah.
Where
it
they
took like
they
six
made
of
decide,
you
to lift it up and stand it up. It was like 4 inches wide and all that little intricate wood graining we did. That was pretty neat, intense but neat.
That had that diagonal three-dimensional
pyramid.
Yeah,
the diamonds and all kinds of different
like
stuff.
Like an old O'Neill,
yeah.
Ford O'Neill
that was awesome.
Style.
That door was just awesome. I didn't like having the sign that if I ran over a deer, I'd have to pay like $14,000. But that's what you had to do to get on the property. Other than that, that's pretty neat. Those are some of the great jobs I've had.
What about the people? Relationships.
I think we built up a sense of family. We've got a lot of people that have been here. You know, some you get a couple years. Some have been here for like 8 years, some 10, some 12. I think the core of your group started 15 years ago, a year right after I started, which was like
You brought in a group of people that really have been here for a long time.
And so they're still around. I mean, it's fun. I mean, we joke sometimes. Sometimes you get angry at each other, but it's work, you know. Sometimes you kind of, hey, I don't like it like that. They, you know, but, hey, it comes and goes with the territory. But for the most part, everybody gets along well. You know, we get along well, we work together well, and we consider each other selves family in incest.
What are you looking for next? Where are you taking us? What are we doing?
I think we just continue to keep growing. I think we keep growing as a company, slowly but growing. Get more efficient, doing more efficiently.
I think there can be a lot more on the software side.
Yes, on the software side.
For your shipping, your receiving, your stations, where things are.
Picking up things out, you know, to where they work better. You know,
logistics.
Like the new system we're doing with the
QuickBase
is actually, you know, it's really helping out. It's going to be a while before we get it down patent, and it really shows you everything it's supposed to. But I think it's going to get us there. That and just keep growing with what we got now. We don't need to get a big building. We don't need to get a lot more people. We just got to get better at what we do.
And
we do well now, but I think we could do better.
I agree. And I hope over time, as, you know, now I'm late 40s and we're all been together for a while, that we get some new people in that want to learn the trade, that are excited and enjoy building things. I know you enjoy building things.
I love it. I can't do it no more, but I love it.
You can too. But it gets you out of bed in the morning, whether you're building a group of people or you're building a project for someone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to take raw materials and then
make something
have an
out
idea.
Of it.
Yeah, totally.
Make something out of it. Yes, it is.
You know, literally a tree comes in one end of the building or a panel, and out the other end comes something really darn cool.
Right. So now I think where I go is because I do love building. I like doing my stuff. I mean, I kind of show off too, you know. You got to show people, hey, look, I did that. I'm bad to the bone, ain't I? Right? But I got guys that do it now, so I'm like, now the best thing I can do is try to design something that looks really cool so they can say, hey, that's a good idea, Nick. You know what I mean? And that's basically where I'm going on that one. But, yeah, there's a unlimited potential.
Well, thank you for all these years, and look forward to hopefully many, many more, and appreciate all your help.
Thank you.
What would you tell, let's end with this. So for that, the young Nick that was back at Sam Houston High School.
Back in the day.
Doing the co-op program that thought about being in millwork. What would you go back to the young Nick now, or the Nick of today, that's a young man that's looking at his options, or she's looking at her options? What would you tell that person about this industry and about your journey? What words of advice would you give that person?
I'd say the industry, this is a good industry to be in. It's always has grown. Even though we're not doing the old Henry XVIII dressers anymore, you know, with the big balls.
But we could.
And we could, yeah. You could do the carvings and stuff. But, you know, even though you're not doing that and we're just doing cabinets and stuff, but there's always good things you can make, some really awesome architectural woodwork, metalwork, whatever you want to call it, stonework, that you can still do. And this industry is a good industry to get into. One, because most people are aging out, so you'll be the one of a kind. But, you know,
job security.
Yeah, it's job security. And, you know, it's never going to go away. You know, no matter, you can be in the Jefferson time, you're still going to have to make a cabinet. You're still going to have to make that door that opens where your, you know, your frozen yogurt comes out of, or whatever you want to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
But to your point, there's a need and a desire for humans to build beautiful projects,
and
we need people to build them.
And
if you like building them, it's a great opportunity.
And then for me here, there's an opportunity, whether you come in as a young Nick or whatever, there's always an opportunity to grow and to keep advancing. And that's what we all really look for in life, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's there, and it's there here at Travis Millworks.
Thank you, Nick.
Hey, I like this podcast thing, man. Thank you, John. Appreciate everything.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to listen to more episodes, please check out our archives at traviscompanies.com/podcasts. Try and release a new episode each and every week. Next week, we're going to be talking about our process, specifically on the millwork side, how we go from a piece of wood or a dream and your idea to a finished product. I hope that you can join us, and thank you for listening.